Let's turn in the Word of God tonight to Acts 17. Acts 17. We'll consider verse 11 concerning the Bereans. Let's start our reading at verse 1 of Acts 17. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And some of them believed, and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief woman, not a few. But the Jews, which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of a baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received. And these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus." And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Therefore many of them believed, also of the honorable women which were Greeks, and of the men not a few. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. And then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea. But Silas and Timotheus abode there still. And they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus for to come to him with all speed, they departed. We'll read Acts 17 that far. Let's reread verse 11 together. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Therefore many of them believed. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, we heard in the sermon this morning on the first commandment concerning the importance of the knowledge of God. The positive of the first commandment is that we are to know God rightly. And then on the basis of that knowledge of God, we are led to worship Him, serve Him, and love Him. We consider that theme tonight also in the sermon tonight from Acts 17. Acts 17, verse 11, records for us the example of the Bereans. And what the Bereans are known for is amazing. The Bereans were a people, we read in Acts 17, who received the word with readiness of mind, who searched that word daily, and who believed that word. If we're going to follow that first commandment that we heard preached this morning, we need to know that word. And that knowledge of the Word comes from doing exactly these things of which we read concerning the Bereans. As a congregation and as believers, we need to be those who receive it. And we'll see the ways in which we receive that Word. But then it doesn't stop there for us as a congregation. We need to be those who then search it to make sure that what we hear is the truth. And what God does is work through that in such a way that we are confirmed in our belief of it. All with the goal, as we heard this morning, to be all the more devoted to our God in our service and love of Him. The Bible tells us that the Bereans were noble. They were more noble than those in Thessalonica in this respect, that they received and searched the Scriptures daily. In the eyes of God, that's what makes someone noble or honorable. It's not your class. It's not your status in this world. It's not how much money you have. It's not whether you're male or you're female. In the eyes of God, this is someone who is noble. You receive that word and you love that word and you search that word, and God works in that so that you believe that word. The Bereans were known for this. The question is, are we? Are we as a denomination, more specifically as a congregation, known for the same things that the Bereans were known for? They were a people who searched the Scriptures daily. That's the Word of God that we have brought to us tonight. The noble Bereans. Let's see those three things that I referred to in the introduction. The fact that they received the Word. The fact that they then searched that Word. And then in the last place, briefly, that they believed that Word. The noble Bereans. They received, searched, and believed God's Word. The context of Acts 17, verse 11 is pretty simple. We find Paul and Silas and Timothy here on the second missionary journey. Paul had been laboring extensively in the region of Macedonia. In Acts chapter 16, which we didn't read, we read about the extensive labors of Paul in Philippi. From Philippi, he made his way to Thessalonica. And that's what we read at the beginning of this chapter. There were those in Thessalonica that received that word with joy. They were mostly Greeks. The Jews, however, very much rejected the word that the apostle was bringing. And so what they did was stir up an uproar against the apostle Paul and Silas and Timothy. In fact, what they did was assaulted the house of Jason, where apparently the apostle and those two other men were staying. When they went to that house, the apostle Paul and Silas and Timothy were not there. What they did instead was arrest Jason, clearly suffering on behalf of his love, not only for the apostle and the brethren, but also for his love for Jesus Christ. After Paul and Silas and Timothy caught wind of what happened, they were urged by those who were one in the faith with them in Thessalonica to leave. It was not safe for them to stay anymore in the city of Thessalonica. And so what they did was they picked up and left. And they went to a city very near Thessalonica, just to the west, and that was the city of Berea. In fact, it was that same angst against Paul and Silas and Timothy that eventually led to Paul leaving Berea. It wasn't that far away. And the people in Thessalonica heard what he was now doing in Berea, and they hightailed it over to Berea. And that eventually led Paul to leave, but then Silas and Timothy stayed and worked among the saints in Berea. Beloved, this is all we know about the saints in Berea. Just these couple of verses in Acts 17, verses 10, 11, and 12. But yet, before reading Acts 17 tonight, and before looking at the theme in the bulletin this morning, if I were to mention the Bereans, you would know who I was talking about. The Bible doesn't say very much about the Bereans, but what the Bible does say about the Bereans is profound. It's something that sticks with us. These people were known for something. They are to us as a congregation a marvelous example. What they were known for was this: their daily searching of the Scriptures. Really, there are two activities highlighted in verse 11 concerning the Bereans. They did two things, and this corresponds to the first two points of the sermon. On the one hand, the Bible says that they received the Word, and then on the other hand, they searched that Word. Now, those are two very different activities. Different activities from this point of view. On the one hand, the idea of receiving the Word is rather passive. Paul and Silas and Timothy were there and they instructed, and the people received, more of a passive activity. On the other hand, however, this idea of searching the Scriptures is very active. They themselves did the work of delving into and searching the Scriptures. But both of those are important, as we'll see in the sermon this evening. And both of them need to be present among us. We cannot be a people who just on our own search the Scriptures, but then are never those who receive the Scriptures, as we'll see in the preaching of the gospel. But what is probably more of a temptation for us is this. We can't be a people who only receive passively, but then never are a people who actively search. Well, these are the two activities that we highlight from this text in the sermon tonight. Let's start with that first idea of receiving the Word of God. What this is a reference to clearly is the work of the Apostle Paul in preaching in the synagogue in Berea, and the saints in that church then listening and receiving what was preached. Paul did in Berea what he did everywhere he went on his missionary journeys. He went to the synagogue. And the synagogue in that time was not a place for a meet and greet with the apostle. It wasn't a place for a fellowshipping with the people there. It wasn't a place in order to find food and comfort for the evening. He went to the synagogue to bring the Word of God. And that's what Paul did. And the word that he brought, especially to those Bereans, is exactly what he brought to the Thessalonians that we read about earlier in the chapter. He proclaimed to them Jesus Christ. He proclaimed to those Jews in Berea, especially this about Jesus Christ, that this Christ was the very one prophesied in all of the Old Testament. This Christ was the very one who had to suffer. And this Christ is the very one who just died for the salvation of His people. He went to the synagogue in Berea and gave them the good news of Jesus. It was that word that they received. We too, as believers, receive the Word of God. We receive that very Word of God. God has ordained the life of the Christian to be such that we always need to be those who are receiving God's Word. This isn't something that only takes place right at the beginning of one's life as a Christian, like it was for the Bereans there. They were Jews. They were learned in the Old Testament Scriptures. But here they have revealed to them the glory of Jesus Christ in His fullness and beauty. The first time probably that they have that connection made for them after Pentecost. But this isn't the only time we receive the Word of God. We always need to be those who are being instructed in the Word of God, revealing to us the glory of Jesus Christ and His cross and the guidance that we need for our lives here on this earth. So as a congregation today, what is spoken of here concerning the Bereans is true for us. And the chief place in which we receive God's Word is obviously right here in the house of God in the preaching of that gospel. For you children and young people, you will receive the Word of God tomorrow in catechism. I and the other two that are teaching are doing just that. We are teaching. We are instructing. And you sit. And yes, we ask questions and we talk. But largely, it's you receiving the truth of the Word of God. And even more broadly, any time that as Reformed Christians we are being instructed, it falls under this category of receiving God's Word. And there are many times in which that is the case. If we go to lectures, for example, and even in the privacy of our own homes when we read the Standard Bearer, when we read the other good Reformed literature that is out there, that is the work of others who have themselves searched the Scriptures, and we listen and we receive that Word. But the heart of it, as it was the case for these Bereans, is right here in the house of God in the preaching of His Word. The text tells us that not only did those Bereans receive that Word, but those Bereans received it with readiness of mind. with all readiness of mind. The idea of that phrase, readiness of mind, is that the Bereans received that word eagerly. They were excited about what the Apostle Paul was proclaiming to them. And now notice what I just said there. They were excited about what they were hearing, the content of the message. They were thrilled that the Apostle Paul was standing there before them and making these connections so clear to them now from the Old Testament, how this Jesus Christ, who was just crucified and who arose from that grave and ascended into heaven, is the Christ promised for so many years, and therefore the hope of salvation as it is found in Him alone. They were excited and eager to hear that word of God. But it was the message. It wasn't the messenger that made them excited. And that's worth seeing tonight. So often our excitement can be for the wrong reasons. And think about the Bereans. This was not any ordinary pastor coming to the church in the synagogue there to preach the gospel. This was the Apostle Paul. This was Silas. This was Timothy. Paul, now on his second missionary journey, who very clearly to the people was one who was called by God to do this amazing work on behalf of the church. This was Paul in front of them. But that wasn't their reason with all readiness of mind to receive that word. It had to do with this. What they were hearing was the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what made them excited about the gospel they were hearing. Beloved, what about us with respect to this point? What about us as it relates to how we receive it? We receive it. We receive it often. You children, you young people, receive the Word of God. You will tomorrow. But what about this? Is it with all readiness of mind? Is it with eager anticipation and excitement that we sit under the preaching of the gospel? There are things that we need to do to rekindle in our hearts an excitement and eagerness to be those who receive the gospel. Now, obviously, this is something that only the Spirit can do in our hearts. Only the Spirit burns in our hearts with this eagerness to receive the Word of God. But at the same time, He can work through things, and He can work through certain mindsets that we have. And that's part of it, that we as a congregation receive this Word with a proper frame of mind, understanding what it is. There are too many things that we can think that have the effect, so to speak, of sucking out of this us the excitement that we need to have for the gospel as it's proclaimed. Take the main way in which this takes place in our midst, which is right here in the house of God, worshiping and hearing the preaching of the gospel. How do we think about it? How do we talk about it? So often we can talk about we're going to church. Sunday morning rolls around, Sunday afternoon, we're going to church. And what are we going to do? We're going to sit through an hour and a half service. And then in the midst of that hour and a half service, what we are going to do is we're going to listen to a 45, 50-minute sermon. And that sermon's going to have a theme, and it's going to have 3 points, but that's what we're doing. All of that is true. We go to church. We sit through an hour and a half service. We sit through and listen to a 45, 50-minute sermon. What if you think about it this way? You wake up on Sunday morning, and instead of thinking, I'm going to church to sit through a service, you think about this. I'm going to hear Jesus this morning. That's what's taking place. We all know that. We believe that. Just as real as you were in Nazareth 2,000 years ago, you're going to hear Jesus this morning. And then you think, I'm going to hear Jesus right now, and He's going to tell me the most amazing message that any man could ever proclaim. And it's not first and foremost, a theme with 3 points. It's this. There's salvation. There's hope for sinners who know their sin and who put their faith in this Lord Jesus Christ. And I can know that that sin that clung to me all this past week is wiped away in the eyes of God. And one day I will live in the house of many mansions with this Savior. But think about, if you think that way, when you wake up, first thing Sunday morning and Sunday afternoon when you get ready to come here to church, I'm going to hear the voice of Jesus and He's going to tell me the most amazing thing that I could ever hear. You want excitement? You want eagerness? You want readiness of mind as it relates to receiving the gospel of Jesus Christ? Think about that amazing truth every time we come to be receivers of the Word of God. The Bereans, with all readiness of mind, received that Word. But then the Bible tells us that those Bereans did something else. Having received that Word, we read that they searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. So recall that distinction that I made at the beginning of the sermon. The one is very passive. We're listening. Paul, Silas, and Timothy, they were active. They searched, they prepared, and they brought, and they received. The people received. Now, we get into something else here, something very different, a very active thing for those saints in Berea. They searched those Scriptures daily. The idea of searching the Scriptures is that they themselves, very carefully, very thoroughly, dug into the Word of God to make sure that what they were hearing was the truth. We'll get to that purpose a little bit later, but let's just look at that idea of searching the Scriptures right now. When you search something, the emphasis falls on the fact that you are doing something carefully and thoroughly. If a detective goes to a crime scene and needs to search that crime scene, it's not just a once-over real quick, let's see what we have here. No, very carefully, very methodically, very thoroughly, they go through everything they see in order to glean as much information as they can. It's exactly that which the Bereans did with the Scriptures. For the Bereans, it was the Old Testament. That's what they were searching to confirm what Paul was saying. For us today, the application is the entire Word of God. But the emphasis falls on this deep, thorough, careful, active study of the Word of God. We receive that Word often. We're here on the Lord's Day. Our children and young people go to catechism. But what about this? What about this active, thorough digging into the Word of God? No commentaries, maybe a reference guide to help you, simply your mind, your Bible, a pen, a highlighter maybe, and a notebook, and simply opening the Bible and saying, I'm going to just read it, think about it, study it. I don't even have to have a reason for doing it. Not even for society. Not even for something I may have to lead. Simply going to read and search and dig into the Word of God. Are we living at a time where everything else in this world has swallowed up this most fundamental activity of a Christian? Where there's so much else going on in our lives. School, work, sports, recreation, the internet, Facebook, all of it. Where all of it has swallowed up this most basic activity of the child of God. Simply sitting down with nothing else but your Bible in your mind and digging into the Word of God. That's what the Bereans did. And understand that it was the Bereans who did this. This wasn't Paul, Silas, and Timothy who were called by God to proclaim that Word. who therefore of a necessity needed to do that. And that's the application to me as a pastor, that I don't just search these scriptures in order to preach sermons, make sure that for a personal reason, my own faith, I do the exact same thing like you in addition to the work that I'm called to do. But notice that this was the Bereans. These were people that God did not say, quit your job, stop being a mother, stop doing everything else in your life so that you can full-time dedicate yourself to searching the Scriptures. No. These were men and women who had everyday lives like you and me, but they put it into their life to search the Word of God daily. And now if the first question struck a chord with us, do we do this? This question strikes an even stronger chord. Do we do this daily? And not just the reading of the Word or the skimming of the Word, but the searching of the Word. Is it a foreign thought to us for an hour to sit down with nothing else but the Bible? How many of us in the last month have sat down with just the Bible for an hour? And I'm not saying the daily requires an hour. The searching of the Scriptures daily doesn't require an hour. But it's good at times simply to study the Word of God for an extended length of time to soak in the truth of who God is. Is it foreign to us to be people who can carve out time in our lives simply to read and search and dig in God's Word? They did it daily. We need to find time daily to open up and to think about and meditate upon the Word of God and not let everything else in our lives swallow up this fundamental work of a child of God. Now, they did it for a particular reason, and it's a reason that applies to us as well. The Bereans did this in order to see whether those things were so. The idea there is that they wanted to confirm for themselves what they were hearing from the Apostle Paul. Paul was proclaiming the Word of Christ, specifically the Word that this Christ was the fulfillment of the Old Testament promised Messiah. And so they heard that in the synagogue, and then they searched themselves. They wanted to know from what they saw that this Word was the truth. They didn't just take Paul's word for it. They wanted to see it themselves. They wanted to dig in it and know and be confirmed that this Christ truly is the fulfillment of the Old Testament. And beloved, the same thing must be true for us, that we search them for this particular reason. Now, you can have confidence, and I want you to have confidence, and the elders want you to have confidence because of what they do as elders, that what you hear is the truth. You can have that confidence. But part of faith is making it your own and appropriating it for yourself. And that comes from seeing it yourself and going into the Word of God and seeing that this truly is the revelation of God to us as His people. And really what you're searching for and being confirmed in is the exact same thing. You want to see Christ. That's what they were looking for. How what Paul said was true in this respect, that Christ is revealed in these Scriptures. And beloved, that's what we need to search and to seek and to be confirmed in ourselves. That the revelation of God, particularly of Jesus, as you hear it, is in fact the truth of the Word of God. Now, understand that this does not mean that when you listen, when you receive, you're receiving it with a critical mind, looking for things that may not be true. We need to tie together these first and these second points of the sermon. The first point was they received it with eagerness, with readiness of mind, with excitement. The second point is they searched the Scriptures daily. Now those two go hand in hand. What they did not do was sit there listening to Paul, thinking to themselves, what can I find here that is wrong? I'm not quite sure about what he's saying. I'm going to listen with a negative, critical ear to make sure that nothing slips by and I'm going to pinpoint everything that is wrong. That's not how they listened. In this negative, condescending way, they listened in a positive way. They were excited about it. And with that same excitement, they went and searched those scriptures. And that's what we need to do. Have the confidence that what you are hearing is the truth because of the work of the elders who oversee the preaching of the gospel. But then see it for yourself. Spend time in that Word of God yourself so that when you read it, you're confirmed that this, in fact, is the truth. We can do that because of two things especially. We can do that in the first place because of the office of all believer. Beloved, I'm not the only one who has the Spirit of Christ in me. You do too. And therefore, with that Spirit of Christ, you're able, as was revealed on Pentecost, to open up the Scriptures and see for yourself the truth. That was one of the major errors in the Roman Catholic Church. They kept the people from being able to see it for themselves and made it so that only the priests were those who were able to explain the Word of God. That's not the Reformed faith. The Reformed faith is that the Spirit is in you so that you yourself can be confirmed that this is the truth. You can do this. You must do this. This isn't reserved for a pastor or for an elder or for a deacon, the leaders in the church. This is every child of God in the church who is called to see for themselves that this is the truth. So they could do that in the first place because they had that. But in the second place, because they understood the authority of those Scriptures. They placed the Scriptures as that which was most authoritative in their life. Now, Paul came with authority. He came as an apostle. And therefore, the Spirit worked through him and Jesus spoke through him. But at the same time, he was an instrument. He was a man. And the Bereans understood that even though it's Paul, it's still a man. And no word of man is the final authority. This is the final authority, the Word of God. And so they didn't go to another man or another commentary to see what the truth was. They went to the Word itself because they understood that this is the authority in doctrine and in life. And so we do the same. You don't trust in the word of a man. You yourselves, as those who have the Spirit of Christ in you, are able to sit down with the Word of God, read it, understand it, and know, therefore, that what is being proclaimed and received is the truth. The great fruit of this, revealed for the life of the Bereans and for us today, is that they believed it. The Spirit of Christ worked in such a way that they believed these things that they received and then later searched. It was to them the truth, but especially believed it in this sense, that they were confident in it. That's faith, isn't it? Heidelberg Catechism speaks of faith as a knowledge, a certain knowledge and an assured confidence. A certain knowledge and an assured confidence. All of that is being confirmed in what you believed. And that is the blessing of this Word. And what the Spirit does when we as a congregation and as individual believers receive and search the Scriptures, you don't have to wonder, because He said it, I believe it. No. That's not the truth for Reformed Christians, just because the minister said it or the professor wrote it. That's part of it. But it's this. I know it because I saw it myself. And I delved into the Word of God. And I looked up all the passages. And I thought about it very carefully. And I prayed over it. So that when someone asks me, what do you believe? What do you believe as a Reformed church? You say, this is what I believe. And I know it. Because I received it in the preaching of the gospel. And I studied it. And I saw it for myself. And then it's not just the doctrine. God works through that with respect to Jesus. I heard it. I studied it. I prayed over it. And the Spirit worked through it. So that with confidence all the more, I don't cling to just a doctrine, but I cling all the more to my Savior, Jesus Christ. That's part of the belief. They believed it in such a way that they were drawn closer through this daily, deep study of the Scriptures to Jesus Christ. They were devoted through this all the more to their God and Father of Jesus Christ. They were strengthened, as we heard this morning, in singularly serving Jehovah God in their life. With that motivation, beloved, let us as a congregation be like the Bereans. Receive it regularly. Search it thoroughly. And believe it confidently. Amen. Our Father which art in heaven, we thank Thee that we can learn from this example of the Bereans. May we be a people who search daily the Scriptures and are confirmed in our faith and walk all the more in our relationship with Thee very closely. We thank Thee that Thou hast opened up Thy Word to us this evening. Bless us now in this week to come. For Jesus' sake do we pray. Amen.